hear God's word to us in scripture and in sermon, let us join together in prayer. Prepare our hearts to accept your word, O Lord. Silence within us any voice but your own, that hearing we might also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, the focus of our sermon is going to be on Psalm 112. But because it is closely related to the one that goes before it, I'm going to read both Psalm 111 and 112. Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided the redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever, holy and awesome in his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And then the psalm that is going to be our primary focus, 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. Each generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and the righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Here ends our scripture lesson for this morning. Well, there's a story of a cowboy out in his field alongside the road one day watching over his herd when suddenly a shiny new Range Rover pulls up besides. And a guy gets out in a nice three-piece suit and Ray-Ban sunglasses and looks over the situation, and he calls the cowboy over to him and he says, I will bet you, if I can tell you exactly how many cattle you have, will you give me one of your calves? And he says, sure. So he gets out his iPhone and he dials up NASA and gets a satellite view of the picture. He sends that information to his office that tabulates it and prints it up into a nice folder, and then in a nice folder in the back of his seat, a report comes out. And he looks at it and he says, you have 1,342 head. Is that correct? Yes. He says, well, I'm going to take what I said I would take. And he picks up one of the animals and puts it back in the back of his car. And the cowboy says, well, wait a minute. He says, if I can guess what you do for a living, will you give that back to me? And he says, sure. He says, well, it's easy. You're a consultant. He says, well, how do you know that? He says, well, you showed up here without anybody asking you to answer questions that nobody cared about. and you don't know a thing about my business. Well, that's right. Now, giving back my dog. Well, there is a difference between technical ability, knowledge, and wisdom. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a psalm that looks at wisdom. Now, for those who are doing the study, don't go flipping to the back of your book because there isn't a study on this. That was finished, but I decided I'd kind of finish out the spring by looking at a couple more psalms. And the psalm that we'll be looking at this morning is in a category of psalms known as the wisdom psalms. Now, as we remember from the past weeks, you know, the psalms are largely the record of people, you know, lifting their prayers and their praises and their hearts before God. But there are a couple of exceptions to that, and one of them are this small category of psalms that are called wisdom psalms. And these psalms make up a part of the body of what is called wisdom literature in the Old Testament, which is not so much directed as praise to God as were devices to teach about God. And wisdom poetry was common in the ancient Middle East. Many cultures collected sayings and proverbs and exhortations to teach people wisdom in everyday living. And in the Bible, we see that kind of literature, particularly in the book of Proverbs and Job and Ecclesiastes and a number of the Psalms. But the wisdom literature of Israel was different somewhat than their neighbors, because Israel's wisdom always had a religious basis to it. Israel's wisdom was always rooted in the knowledge of God. And so Psalm 112 is a typical wisdom psalm. Like others of its kind, it would have been used to teach young people the benefits that come from serving the Lord and the wisdom of living in the right way. Its form actually was that of an acrostic, and what that means is that each phrase, each of the 10 phrases here, begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and they did that as an aid in memorization. And so as we look at the wisdom of the Psalms, we can see not only what it would have said to the ancient Israelites, but also what it says to us. Now, to understand the wisdom Psalms, we also need to know what the Israelites, what the people of Israel thought of as wisdom. And for Old Testament writers, the emphasis of wisdom is about gaining the ability to discern and to understand. And indeed, the background of the Hebrew word wisdom means literally to discern between two things. And so wisdom and understanding are more than just gathering facts and data. It's more than just knowing stuff. Wisdom is concerned with using knowledge that one possesses in a profitable way. You know, it's been said, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. And we see that, you know, in very practical ways. For example, you know, many, many years ago, you know, I took a course in driver's ed, you know, and I learned, you know, from the book what all the signs meant. You know, we learned, you know, how actually at that point they taught you how to change a tire and all that stuff. We also, you know, watched such wonderful films such as Death on the Highway and that were especially meant to scare you into driving safely. And so, you know, in that time, I learned everything that was necessary to drive the car. But that is not enough, because it's through experience and practice that one develops over time the judgment to do it safely. And so what, without judgment, what the Old Testament would call wisdom, you know, knowledge is incomplete and actually can even be dangerous. You know, it's been said a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. I think a better way of putting it is knowledge without wisdom, knowledge without the ability to use it properly, is a dangerous thing. And so in the Old Testament, Wisdom is concerned with judgment of how to do the right things, and specifically concerned with ethical judgment, the ability to decide between right and wrong. You know, knowledge was viewed as neither good nor bad in itself, but as something that could be used in either a helpful or a destructive nature. But it is through wisdom that a person was enabled to discern what is right from what is wrong, and thus do what is right. And so in the Old Testament, wisdom is always related to right living. A wise person is not one who stores up gems of knowledge simply to contemplate or to impress those around him or to win bar bets. A wise person is to one who allows wisdom to direct their lives. And so a person can have all kinds of knowledge and understanding. They can even have discernment. But unless they live by it, unless they put it into practice, the Bible would consider them a fool. So what is the source of wisdom? Well, the Old Testament is very clear in its assertion that wisdom ultimately comes from God. The last verse of Psalm 111 proclaims that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that those exact words are repeated several other places in the Old Testament. Now, we need to understand that fear here is not primarily referring to terror, but awe and reverence at the greatness of God. And so what the psalmist is saying is God, who is all-knowing, holy, and just, is wise in the truest sense, and it is in relationship to God, recognizing God's nature, that we can discern what true wisdom is. God is the standard by which we can discern right from wrong. God is the standard of justice and truth, and those who seek after God and follow God's teachings will have wisdom to direct their lives. And so the purpose of this psalm was to teach, you know, that kind of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is in God's character and acts and in His laws that we find true discernment and wisdom. And as we follow God and seek to be faithful to God's word, we too can find that kind of direction for our own lives. But the main emphasis of our psalm for this morning is not simply showing what wisdom is, but it is on the results that come from living by wisdom. Now, there's a reason why I read both Psalm 111 and 112. They were undoubtedly composed by the same author, and they were meant to be studied together. They are remarkably similar in their length and structure and characteristics. They parallel each other. Psalm 111 proclaims God and God's ways and the greatness of that. It proclaims God's wonderful nature and majestic deeds and ends with the statement, as we saw, the fear of the Lord, the fear of this God is the beginning of all wisdom. And then Psalm 112 parallels that by describing how that works itself out, the results of that in a true follower of God. It picks up on the theme of true wisdom and then goes on to describe the consequences or the fruit of living in that manner. And it begins with these words, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands." And so Psalm 111, ends, "The fear of the Lord is beginning of all wisdom." And then Psalm 112 begins, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord," and then goes on to enumerate that blessing. These words represent a common commendation of those who fear the Lord. Those who fear the Lord are those who by definition have wisdom are blessed. And so the psalm goes on to enumerate the blessings that will come by those who live and who walk in that kind of wisdom, and there are many. He writes, "Their descendants will be mighty and influential. Wealth and riches as a sign of God's blessing will fill His house." Now, this is a common motif in wisdom literature, that those who live in this way will be blessed by God. Now, these are not necessarily a reward for goodness, but a sign that God's grace and blessing is upon them. Now, in a physical sense, that same motif does not carry over into the New Testament. You know, prosperity gospel aside, we simply cannot say that if we follow God, our lives will be rosy and filled with material ease. But there are blessings of wisdom that carry over into the new covenant, and these are much more significant. You see, the blessings of wisdom, even in the Old Testament, are not merely physical. Rather, the emphasis of the psalm is given to what you might call the blessings of character that come about. Look about at what this says about a wise person. Verse 3. His or her righteousness stands firm forever. Verse 4. He shines out in the darkness, a light to the upright, is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. Verse 5. Their heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Verse 8. Their heart is unshaken, they will not fear. Verse 9. Their righteousness stands forever. Reputation will be exalted in honor. Now, what gets really interesting is that when you line this psalm up, when you place it beside Psalm 111, and what you will see is that in almost every case, these traits of character are parallel to a corresponding aspect of God. So, for example, in verse 3, a wise person's righteousness is compared directly to God's righteousness. 111:3, glorious, majestic are his, speaking of God's deeds, and God's righteousness endures forever. Verse 112:3, talking about the wise man, wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. You see, the wise person's righteousness comes from God's righteousness. Then on in verse 4, God's gracious and compassionate nature is reflected in those who follow him. 111:4, he has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Verse 112:4, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. In verse 7, God's faithfulness encourages steadfastness in his people. God's trustworthy works and laws lead to a sense of trust in those who follow his ways. 111:7, the works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. 112:7, they will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. In verse 6, God's faithfulness encourages steadfastness in his people. As the name of God is exalted and remembered, so will God exalt those who walk in his ways. 111:6, he has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. You know, exalting who he is and being remembered. Chapter 112:6, surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. And so what we observe in these two psalms is a bold comparison of the righteous person, a wise person, with the God whom he or she serves. And one cannot but be struck at how the characteristics of the Lord are imprinted on the lives of the one who in wisdom trusts and follows him. The graciousness, goodness, and the righteousness of God comes to be seen in the lives of people who live by God's wisdom. And they are specifically revealed in the lives of justice and generosity that should be the norm of those who live in God's wisdom. As a result, we saw in verse 4, you know, those who live for God become a light and become a beacon. They find their reputations exalted and remembered, but even in this, their righteousness and their goodness and your reputation ultimately point back to the God for whom they live. See, the point of listing the characteristics of the righteous, even of contrasting them with a bad end for the wicked, is not pride. Rather, its purpose is to show that life in its fullest is to be found in wisdom, in a trusting, loyal relationship with God. And so the way of wisdom is seen not simply as a way to the good life in terms of prosperity and respect, rather it is revealed as a path toward becoming a person who reflects and bears witness to the character of God. And that parallels the perspective that is very prominent in the New Testament. In Colossians 3, 9 and 10, for example, we read that in coming to Christ, we have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of the Creator. Elsewhere, we see that those who are Christians are urged to reflect the mind and the image of their Savior. You see, the blessings we receive in trusting and in following the ways of Jesus in wisdom are in many ways secondary to what we are called to become. The believer is called not only to receive the blessings of forgiveness and reconciliation, but to be conformed to the image of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, as in Psalm 112, those who have been made righteous in Christ are called then to reflect His character. They are called to the same kind of generous sharing of God's blessings. And they are called to be the same kind of light which bears witness to God's goodness. You see, God's walking with God is not seen as a way to a trouble-free life. It is rather portrayed as a means by which we become all we were called to be and find purpose and fulfillment that we were created to experience by walking in the way of wisdom, by walking in the ways of God. And so Psalm 112 speaks to us not as a smug description of the blessings we receive if we are faithful to God, but as an exhortation and a challenge for what He is calling us to become. To follow in this way of wisdom with the help of the Spirit is to become a person who reflects God's goodness in a way that makes Him known. And that is a challenge that we all need to hear, and it is a promise that should give us hope. For those of us who belong to Christ, Psalm 12 teaches us a couple of things. The first, it gives us a vision towards which we can strive. That we, as we walk in God's ways, are to reflect the character of the God who has loved us and redeemed us. And we then need to allow God to work in our lives that we might begin to reflect the love and compassion and righteousness of our Lord. Though this is not something we do all by ourselves, we see that the beginning of this is found in orienting our lives toward God and then walking in this kind of wisdom. And so then through seeking to know God's word and character and love and then applying it to the decisions that we make day to day, orienting our heart to the God who has loved us, we are promised that as we begin to do that, the Spirit will work slowly but surely to conform us to the image of Christ. Second thing is significant. You know, understand that this instruction is given in the context of praise. You know, although it is a wisdom psalm, it is still a psalm, and in it, in fact, the whole sense of it is this element of praise. And what this says is the promise of becoming what God intends us to be is not a path of drudgery. It is not a hard test that God gives us to see what we're made of. Rather, it is a joyful part of God's gracious plan that we should experience what is best in it for us and for which we should give thanks and praise. Praise God for how He is with us as we walk this way. Praise God for how even when times are difficult in our lives, you know, He is using that to help us to reflect His character. Praise God that by His Spirit He is making us new. Praise God that He works in and through us. And as we are faithful in following His commands and walking in His wisdom, it changes our lives. We know God's blessing. We are made new. And God in Jesus Christ can be revealed through us. May we be a people who increasingly give ourselves to walking in this way of wisdom by orienting our hearts and our minds towards the God who is the source of all that we have and all that we are. And through that, know the blessing of being made new. And now to our great God and His Son, Jesus Christ, be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen.